Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 3. I'm going to continue our study of the Gospel of Mark this morning. And I want to read the first six verses of the chapter as our text. It says, "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil? To save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." Let's pray. Lord, bless as we consider these passages this morning, and help us to be able to make a very real and significant application of it to our own lives, and Lord, to the end that we might never be discouraged in our walk with Thee and in following the principles of the Word of God. So just bless in the message, use it for Thy glory, and use it for the edification of Thy people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've looked at the contents of chapter 2 most recently, and we saw how there was disagreement in that chapter in regards to the forgiveness of sins. Of course, the religious rulers thought it something beyond Christ's capability. But as the Son of God, not only did He have the ability to perform miracles, you know, or the one that was sick of the palsy to say to him, you know, take up thy bed and walk, but he also had the power to forgive sins. And the only reason they questioned Jesus' ability was because they questioned his person. They did not acknowledge nor recognize who he was as the Son of God. There was also disagreement about fellowshipping with publicans and sinners, which Jesus did. But it wasn't for the purpose of partaking in their sin, but it was for the purpose of, you know, calling them unto himself for salvation. And here, in this particular context, he was dining with a publican because one of those publicans became a disciple of his. And, of course, this particular disciple would have had many friends amongst the publicans. And so when Jesus was invited over for dinner, and this man's friends were invited to attend as well, there would have been publicans there. But Jesus wasn't there to partake in their sins, but to call them to salvation. There was disagreement about fasting, why Jesus' disciples did not fast. And then we also saw how there was disagreement about following the Sabbath. And those are all found within chapter number 2. And I'll say one more time, there seems to be controversy, or there seemed to be much controversy surrounding the person and actions of the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry, and things really haven't changed all that much. When you invoke the name Jesus Christ in public, it seems to be met with great controversy. So don't be surprised nor be discouraged by that. That was the case in Jesus' ministry, and it's going to be the case in ours as well. Before I get into the subject of my message, I need to explain the use of a particular expression that we use sometimes. And that expression is, he was dealt a bad hand. Maybe you've heard that before, and it does come from a literal expression. You know, if you've ever played cards and gambled, probably not many of you have, but in my family reunions, playing cards is one of the norms. Now, we haven't been around for it for years because it's always across an entire weekend, and we simply go for the Saturday activities and leave before the evening, which is probably when they get their cards and coins out and start playing. But when I was a kid, playing cards, you know, for change was a staple of the Potter reunion. So I'm familiar with card games and the expressions that are used in those card games. And so if you were playing, you know, a particular game of poker and you didn't really get favorable cards, you would say you were dealt, literally dealt, a bad hand. And so you either folded, bluffed your way through the hand, or hoped that you would get better cards as that hand unfolded. But figuratively, the expression is used to refer to people who might be facing difficult circumstances in life. Providence would have it that things do not look favorable for them. And I've chosen this expression as the title of my message this morning. When life deals you a bad hand. And I want to look at the man that's referenced in our text and at his infirmity and at his response to his infirmity and to his eventual reward. It says in verse number 1, and he, speaking of Jesus, entered again into the synagogue. Notice the presence of the word again. He went there again. It says elsewhere in the Bible that this was his custom. He went to the synagogue. He went to the place of worship. He went to where God's people were assembled. And he went there again. And there, as he entered the synagogue, there was a man there which had a withered hand. If I might use that expression, life had dealt him a bad hand. And you know, that's something that most of us probably can't imagine. And only Brother Hanley can, you know, partially relate to this man. Because if you didn't know, one of his legs is not real. It's hard to tell, you know, since he doesn't go around wearing shorts. But... And you wouldn't notice it, you know, just by watching him, unless you engaged him, you know, in a race or something of that sort, maybe a game of kickball. But, you know, I can't imagine that this man's circumstance was one that was pleasant, especially in this day and age in which he lived, where there wasn't, you know, many modern advancements that would help and assist and aid him in his infirmity. So there was consequences to him being born with a withered hand. I mean, physically, he was limited. There was limitations. There was things that he couldn't do because of his condition. I mean, he probably needed assistance to perform some basic things that you and I take for granted. It's probably difficult to get dressed in the morning, at least until you kind of learn and figure out how to do it. I mean, I've seen people who have no arms, and after a while, they figure out how to do everything with their toes. They'd have to have some agile toes, I would think. And I don't know if you've ever seen videos of those kind of people, but it's nothing short of miraculous. Their feet become their hands. For most people, that's not the case. And perhaps for this man, at least early on in his infirmity, that wasn't the case. You know, if he wanted to cut wood, of course, I know they didn't have chainsaws in this day, but just with an axe, How much force could you bring upon the wood with one hand and one good arm? What if he wanted to roof his house, you know, and take the sheeting, you know, up to the top of the roof? I would imagine it would be quite difficult to do that with one hand. And when he went to, you know, hammer in a nail, how was he going to hold the nail to construct his house? Sometimes it's hard enough to fix parts on your car with two hands, let alone one. I thought to myself, he couldn't perform my job very well, because to type on a computer, at least effectively and efficiently, you need two hands. But he had only one. And even tying his shoes probably was a challenge. Because of his infirmity, he was probably passed up for certain jobs. And maybe he was stared at by children and perhaps by others due to his condition. There was physical limitations on this man because of his infirmity. But you know, I can't help but think that there was probably also some emotional challenges that went along with his infirmity as well. Now, I don't know if he was born with this condition. I don't think the Bible tells us, or if it was one that came upon him later in life. But if he was born with a condition, you can imagine how difficult it would have been for him as a child. All the other children staring at you, wondering why you're so different from them. Probably always picked last whenever they played games. And this, no doubt, had an emotional effect upon this man. Maybe as a result of his infirmity, he had very few, if any, friends. You know, nearly always, nothing is said of the emotional anxieties that are associated with people's infirmities in the Bible. But certainly it had to have existed. You know, back in chapter 1 and verse 41, we read of a man who had leprosy. Verse 40 says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, and put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." I mean, we're introduced to this leper, but nothing is told to us of the emotional anxieties that he endured as a result of his leprosy. But when I read all the commands and all the principles that were to guide someone with leprosy in the Old Testament, I can't help but feel that this man was not only carrying around the burden of leprosy, but all the emotional anxieties that came with it. I mean, one day when this leprosy was discovered on his body, he was immediately taken from his house, immediately taken from his home, immediately taken from his children and his wife, if he had them, and was put in isolation. There was no hug goodbye, no kiss goodbye from the family. And even when he saw them in the future, he could only look at them from afar off. And that was not only true of his relationships with his wife and children, but everyone else in his family and his community. You can't tell me there weren't some emotional challenges as a result of his infirmity. I'm sure that there were. How about in Mark chapter 5, the woman with an issue of blood? Look over there at chapter 5, Mark chapter 5. In verse 25, it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years." I mean, we don't know much about her, other than that she's had this problem for 12 years, "and had suffered," here we go, now we learn a little bit of the woman, "and had suffered many things of many physicians. She went through every medical procedure known to man in that day. And it says, so much so that had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. You know, when I read that, it tells me something of this woman. It tells me that she was desperate. She was desperate for a cure. She was desperate for help. She was so desperate that she was consumed with her problem, her infirmity. Nothing else was important. And you might say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, she spent everything that she had on a potential cure. She tried every legitimate medical practice and probably some that were not so legitimate, holding out hope that it would improve her life. But none of those things helped her. I think about the impotent man there in John chapter 5. He, like many others who had infirmities, surrounded that pool of water. Because when the angel came down and touched and troubled the waters and they moved, the first one that would fall into that water would be cured of their infirmity. And this man, when asked of the Lord about his condition and the pool, you know, and about being healed, he said, I don't have anybody to lower me into the water. Nobody. No friend. No family member. No one to help him. He had no one. And when you look at these examples and you think about them for a moment, you realize that these people not only had physical ailments that they were dealing with, but they had emotional challenges that went along with them. And this man with the withered hand certainly had emotional challenges as a result of his infirmity. Probably at times embarrassed to even go into public, fearing the stares and whispers of others. The boy, not only did he have physical challenges and emotional challenges, but I think as we read Leviticus chapter 1, we find that he had spiritual challenges. If you would, look at Leviticus chapter 1 with me. Leviticus chapter 21. We'll start up at verse 16 and read down a ways. But I want you to notice some restrictions that are put here on certain people's worship. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. You notice, these people were going to be limited in how closely they could approach and worship the Lord. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. And if you're wondering what it means by a man with a blemish, it explains. A blind man. Or a lame. Or he that hath a flat nose. I don't know exactly what that is. Is that include all African Americans? Is that what a flat nose is? I don't know. It's probably something different than that. Or anything superfluous. Or a man, notice this, that is broken-footed or broken-handed. And it goes on, but that's the verse that applies to our text because the man had a withered hand. He had a broken hand. But it goes on, or crooked-backed, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. His approach to God was limited because of his approach. And by the way, if that causes you to question the actions of God, I would remind you that when you read the Old Testament, on the part of the sinner, God is seen as afar off, not easily approachable. The people of Israel could not even come to the brim of the mountain lest they die. God is afar off. He's unapproachable. And the reason he's afar off and unapproachable is because of our sin. And these blemishes here represent sin for the New Testament believer. And our sin separates us from God and keeps us at a distance to him. But Christ resolves those issues. The sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ and those who appropriate what he's done to their lives now are able to come nigh. And that's what the book of Ephesians says of us Gentiles. We at one time were afar off, but now we're made nigh. We're made near to the Lord. And we can come boldly into his presence. For the sake of our text, this man, not only did he have physical and emotional challenges, he had spiritual challenges as well. He was unable to perform things that others might have been able to perform who were whole. And you know, on top of all these challenges, many seem to be completely apathetic towards him and his condition. Because it says in verse 2, and they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Here's a man with a withered hand. Here's Jesus, who's able to do something about it. And all the people are wondering is whether or not Jesus would heal him on the Sabbath so that they can find fault with him. Were they concerned about the man with the withered hand? No, if they got their way, Jesus would not have healed him. And this man would have continued to struggle physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And these were the religious folks, by the way. I'll not go into the substance of Jesus' response to him, but I will have you notice in verse 5 that when Jesus looked round about on them, he looked at them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. These men were indeed men of hard hearts, not softened by the Savior and the gospel message, but quite the contrary. And here was another thing that this man had to deal with. The hard hearts of others who had no desire or little desire to see this man cured. And so here's this man's challenges. This is his infirmity. Life had dealt him a bad hand. Well, how was he going to respond? What was he going to do as a result of this? If a man ever had a reason to be bitter, we could say that it was this man. If ever a man had a reason to be discouraged, it was this man. If there ever was a man who had reason to forsake the assembly, to neglect the word, and perhaps to reject God altogether, we might say, sympathetically, it was this man. If ever a man had a reason to give up, it was this man. But that's not what he did. That's not how he responded. He didn't fold. He stayed in the game. Will you notice again what it says there in verse number 1? And he, Jesus, entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man. Where was this man? He was in the synagogue. Had he given up? Had he quit God? Had he neglected the Word or forsaken the assembly of believers? No, he didn't. He continued to go to the synagogue. And as a response to that, what was his reward? By the way, if he had given up, he would never have went to the synagogue that day. He would never have met Jesus. And he would never have gotten a better hand. But he went to the synagogue, not giving up, not becoming discouraged, not thinking, woe is me, I'm not like everybody else. He went to the synagogue, and he was rewarded for doing so. Because in doing so, he met the Savior. And the Savior healed him and changed him for time and eternity. Do you sometimes feel that life has dealt you a bad hand? Are you called upon to face things that other people do not have to face? Do you have physical challenges, emotional challenges, spiritual challenges? What will you do in response? Give up? Throw in the towel? Accuse God? Or will you stay the course? By the way, giving up doesn't mean you're going to be provided help from any other source. Giving up just means you've thrown away your only opportunity for improvement. No, if you feel at times that life has dealt you a bad hand, has maybe been unfair and unrelenting, and the challenges that it throws your way, you just stay the course. You just keep following the Lord. You just keep practicing biblical principles. Because I think in the end what you'll find is you'll be rewarded for your consistency. You'll be rewarded for your faith. Just as this man was rewarded for his. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this encouraging account. Here's a man that has a withered hand. A man that very few people seem to care about. But Lord, you cared about him. You cared enough about him to heal him, even though it would bring hostility from others. And Lord, I pray that if we ever in our lives feel like this man, emotionally and spiritually challenged because of what we face, that we'd not be tempted to quit or give up, but that we would just persevere. That we'd just be faithful to the teachings of Scriptures, knowing that you have the ability to turn things around for us. And Lord, help us also to realize there are others in this world who have challenges. Some have physical challenges Many others have emotional and spiritual challenges. Lord, this world is filled with people who are separated, who are alienated from Thee because of their sin. And Lord, we have the ability to take the gospel message to them and see them healed. And help us to be faithful in preaching and presenting the gospel message to people that they could be saved. So Lord, take the message this morning. Use it for Thy glory and use it for the benefit of Thy people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to hymn number 62, Just As I Am. Hymn number 62.